I'm fine. Thanks. I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. So thankful to City Gates leadership to have invited me after meeting me such a short time ago. Before June, I knew nobody from this church. So I really feel that God did this. God made this friendship possible, this beginning of a friendship. And I really hope that it is only the beginning of a friendship between us and individuals from this church and our family with this family of God here in Ajax. So we're really, really thankful. Thank you for having us. So we work in Angola, and you can see this side of the world map. You can see Angola there in Southern Africa. Ooh, I've got a clicker that helps me. Next slide. Boom. Okay. So Angola is in Southern Africa. You can see there the outline with the map as well. And in relation to where Vic lives, some of you might not know Vic. If it's your first time here, Vic's the pastor here at this church. So Vic came from South Africa, which is the southernmost country in Africa, and we're two countries up from Vic. So it's actually really interesting. We met just this summer, but it turns out that we have at least two friends in common in the country between us, which is Namibia. So it was really exciting to see how God moves, and we know churches that he knows. So we're actually well connected already right here. So we live in the southern part of Angola, in Lubangu. And the reason we're there, me, myself, I was a baby when my parents were there as missionaries. My parents went there in 1985, working with training evangelical pastors. And the young lady to the right is my wife, Kara. She went there in 2009 with the Navigators to do an internship with my parents. So my parents were key for me being there, and then key for later Kara being there. And that was really nice for me because I met her and fell in love, and in 2015 we got married, and now God's brought us together to also work with the Navigators together as a family, making disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples in Angola. So as a result of us coming together in 2015, God has blessed us with a growing family. Charles is now 2 years old. You can see he's got a lot of joy and zest for life. He's now out with the kids, but afterwards you'll probably see him running around. He's very, very fun to be with. And Ellie is the newest member of our family. She's now 4 weeks old. So we're really, really happy that God is blessing us, growing us as a family, and us just learning how to navigate life as a family and making disciples in other families and making disciples within our family, with ourselves and with Charles and Ellie. So Lubangu is this area. So the area that's marked out with a red circle or oval around it was Lubangu in 1975. So it was before 1975 a Portuguese colony for 400 years. And at that time, there was only 75,000 people in the city where we live. Today, the municipality has over 1 million people. So it's a huge difference. Our city has changed a whole bunch, and Angola as a whole has changed a lot. When I was young, Angola had about 12 million people. Today it's catching up to Canada. We're at 31 million people. But very different to Canada, I've been looking at the numbers. In Canada you have mostly older people and very few younger people. In Angola we have a lot of younger people. So 80% of the population are actually younger than me. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Everywhere you look, there are babies, kids, toddlers, and every age. The average age in Angola is 16. I think in Canada it must be closer to 60. So it's exciting to be part of that place right now. And it's a country that's very open to the gospel, so we're able to preach the gospel, but not only preach it at a superficial level. What we're looking to do is actually go deep with key individuals will then do the same with others and do the same with others. And we really hope for an Angola that will be a missionary giant in the future. I see it as a sleeping giant for missions work, a place where there's young people full of energy, full of a desire to serve God. And I believe that God's placed us there, and others, of course, to be part of making disciples who will influence the rest of the world. One number that came to me this year was really interesting at a conference was that the whole world, Christian world right now, is growing by 28 million per year, of which 20 million are in Africa. So the whole rest of the world is only growing by 8 million. So in proportion to the actual population growth of the world, the rest of the world is going down. The church is diminishing. And Africa is actually where it's growing astronomically more than everywhere else. So it's actually a very strategic place to be, to mobilize disciples, to train them, to equip them, to resource them to go and be, I believe, at this time, a missionary sending continent, and specifically Angola, a sending nation. So this is our backyard. We sometimes do evangelistic events, but once a year we're trying to do bigger things. So we had about 400 people there last May 12th. So these are three different photos of the same yard. And we also, I preach on a regular basis, but once a month we rotate between preachers at our church. And similar to today, really exciting to be here as part of this baptism service. We also have had a baptism service, but once or twice a year at our local church. Just two pictures of disciples that have taken that step. Another thing I'm involved in regularly is discipleship training programs. So seminars on the weekend, equipping God's people to go and make disciples as well. So about once a month we do weekend seminars, and also doing retreats with kids. We have a large kids program run in four different neighborhoods, doing small groups with the kids, discipleship with them. And this is actually a picture from a picnic. Every semester we have a picnic for those who graduate from the level that they're doing. This is another photo of a different neighborhood, actually a poorer neighborhood, where we're running the discipleship program for kids. So in those we have about 150 kids in the four neighborhoods. And I envision God opening doors for us to doing this kind of program, this kind of discipleship in every neighborhood of our city. What we need is to be continually training, equipping young adults, adolescents to go into the neighborhoods with us and reaching those kids. I'm also supervising 28 small groups, including the children, the adolescents, young adults, and those small groups are spread around our city, meeting in people's homes. Now, Jesus had big things that he did. He did speak to multitudes. He cured the sick. He worked with people in larger groups. But his main focus was actually individuals. So we do have bigger work. We do seminars, we preach, and we're doing evangelistic events like Jesus did. But we also want to have the same focus that Jesus had. Most of Jesus' time was actually spent with key individuals. You look at all the Gospels, every single one of them, there was a point where in the multitudes, he chose out 12. He saw those people. He prayed a whole night long to identify who those key individuals were that he was going to train, that he was going to equip to pass on that legacy that God had left with him. So individuals are key for us, and we want to train key individuals. So the boy on the right was 12 when I started meeting with him, and I've been training and equipping him for 4 years, and he's now at an age of 16 able to stand up in front of a crowd about this big and preach confidently, using the word of God, using it correctly, using it full of enthusiasm, and also sharing the gospel with his friends at school. And that's one example. Alex is another example of somebody that I've been walking with for 3 years. Alex has now felt the call of God to be a missionary. This verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, really embraces the vision of the navigators. And I believe that it should be the vision of every church as well. Not just to preach to the masses, but to identify those key individuals, those people that God could call into leadership, into developing as disciples, who can make other disciples. Because the ongoing legacy of what Jesus left us to do depends on this, depends on us investing our lives into others, multiplying what God has done in our lives into others. So for us, God has shown us, both young men and young women, that we want to invest our lives in, coming alongside them in their education, coming alongside them in their family life, coming alongside them in their romantic life and aspirations as they move forward, in their studies, in their professional development, just coming alongside them in every part of their lives, developing as spiritual warriors for Christ in every context of their lives. And to be able to do that, we need a team. To be able to go to Angola, we need people coming alongside us to pray, people like yourselves. And we want to invite you to pray about how you might become involved. We need financial support as well. So if God calls you to be a part of us, our work in Angola, through financial giving. That's really, really important for what we're doing, and we want you to be part of that. So afterwards, we'll be distributing cards with pictures of us and pictures of the people that we are discipling, and we'd like to invite you to take one of those home, put it on your fridge, pray for us as a family, pray for the people that we're investing in. We believe that the people that we're investing in Angola will be a blessing where they are, in the community where they are, but we also believe, as we've already seen Alex saying, some of them will be called to international missions. Some of them will be called to be an impact in other places of the world, like Japan, like Thailand, and even like Canada. The country is going in a direction that we do need missionaries. And you as a local church know that very well. Vic came from South Africa as a missionary to Canada. And I met another Brazilian pastor who's planted a church in the London area who came as a missionary to Canada. We need missionaries moving from different places of the world, bringing God's message, God's eternal message. So we believe that we're investing in Angola, but also for the world. So afterwards, you can sign up for our updates. And I would like to now turn us to Hosea. If you have your Bible with you and you want to open up with me, Hosea 13, verse 4 to 6. If you were baptized this morning, I'd like you to lift up your hand. I can see two, three. Where's the fourth person that was baptized? Did she go out with the kids? Okay. And if you were dedicating your child this morning, would you raise your hand just so I can see where you are? Okay. So I would like to speak to you as individuals. I would like to speak to this church communally. This message is from God Almighty. I will be the voice piece, but it is His word. And I'd like you to take it as such. I'd like you to take it very, very seriously, because the creator of the universe, the great I am, the one who was before all things, nobody and nothing was before Him. And everything that exists, exists because of Him. And He knows the trajectory that history will take. He knows the end from the beginning, and He knows what's best for you and for me. So I would like to invite you as an individual, you as a baby in the faith, those who were baptized today, you who are older in the faith, I'd like you to submit yourselves to the Word of God, taking Him as King and Lord, as they declared in the waters this morning. And I also want to speak this message, and it is a message from God to Canada as a nation. So it's to you as an individual, to you as a congregation, but also to Canada as a nation. So as a citizen of Canada, I'd like you to listen to what God has to say to this nation at this time as well, and take that seriously in your role as a citizen. So let's read God's word. But before we read, let's pray. Lord God, we need you. We need you more than we understand. We want to read your word. We want to hear your voice now speaking to us, speaking to this congregation, speaking to the individuals who took the step of faith, being baptized this morning, declaring Jesus Christ as their Lord. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would transform us, oh, Lord, that you would take us one step further into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Lord, we remember the parable that Jesus told. He said that the seeds are scattered by the evangelists, by the preachers. The word of God is that seed. Oh, Lord, we know that some fall upon rocks, stony ground. Some fall upon ground that's not very deep and is scorched by the sun, is engulfed by the thorns that grow, Lord God, by the cares of this world. But, Lord, we want to be good soil. We want to be soil that receives the seed, Lord God, and produces, reproduces 30, 50, even 100 times more. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray for these individuals here. Lord God, that you would move in our hearts, move in their hearts, Lord God, that they would be good soil, receiving this word, Lord God, and taking it and bringing about multiplication in spiritual realms, Lord God, for the blessing of their lives, their families' lives, and their lives of this nation. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. I pray that you would use me, that you would guide me. Holy Spirit, speak. Amen. Hosea 13, verse 4 to 6. But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. Stop there for a moment. Hosea is speaking on the behalf of God. God is speaking to the people of Israel in that time. And he's speaking to Canada today as well. He's speaking to you as an individual today as well. He says to them, I am the Lord your God. He is God. He always has been God. He will never stop being God. He is God Almighty over all things. There is none like him. But here he's speaking to Israel and he says, I am the Lord, your God. So the people that were baptized this morning, Chris is the name that I grabbed. I'm going to speak to you this morning, but it represented it to each and every individual here. You said that he is the Lord your God. That is the testimony that you made this morning. You said, yes, he is my Lord and my Savior. And this people of Israel, God is saying to them, I have been the Lord your God, personal, as a nation, as individuals, the Lord your God. Since when? Ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. Chris and the others this morning acknowledged the Lord God, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. No God but him. No Savior but him. To the rest of the congregation, you didn't make that testimony this morning. I don't know where you're at, but God does, and I believe you do. Is he Lord God out there? Is he just the creator of the universe, impersonally controlling the world, but not known by you? And are you known by him? Is he your God? They came out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is an image for us today as well of sin. All of us have sinned. Every single one of us, from Pastor Vic to Toby to all of us, to me, to my wife, to my baby that was born today. Every one of us is born in sin. Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and we are all descendants in that sin. Every one of us has a need for God. A need for God delivering us, bringing us out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Are you still in slavery to sin? Are you still in Egypt? Not geographically, but spiritually. I know that you're in Canada. I know that you're a citizen of this country and you're here today. But are you in Egypt spiritually? Are you living the ways of the world? Are you in bondage to the way the devil determines? I want you to reflect on that. And I want you to think deeply, asking God, God, have I come out of Egypt? Am I free? Have I been liberated? There is only one liberator, and his name is Jesus Christ, God Almighty incarnated. He came as a baby. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. He came and became flesh. He took on flesh. He didn't always have flesh. He took on flesh to identify with me and with you, to love us at a level that he thirsted, that he hungered, that he suffered, that he felt pain, pain even to death, and death on a cross, humiliated for you and for me, to liberate us. The people of Israel were liberated. They were 400 years in slavery, but they were brought out by the mighty hand of God. Moses, yes, was used of God to lead them. And remember when they got to the Red Sea, you may not know the story. They left the land of slavery. They were liberated. They walked in the desert. They got to the Red Sea, and the enemy was coming after them. We want back our slaves. They were coming after them to get them back. And they crossed through the water. And the New Testament looks at that, and it makes it an imagery. In Corinthians, Paul says that it's an imagery of baptism. The people of Israel went through the water. God opened the Red Sea, an impossible thing for us to fathom even. But God did it because he is the Lord God. And he was the Lord their God. They were his people. And he was working on their behalf. He said, march forward. And the waters were opened. And this is an imagery of baptism. The waters, if they were to come down upon them, would have totally annihilated them. Totally destroyed every person in Israel. And that did happen to the army of Egypt that followed them afterwards. The waters did come upon them. But what happened to the people of Israel? They walked across, and it wasn't even muddy. It says it was dry land. The hand of God dried it up, pushed the waters out. And in that, I imagine the person of Jesus Christ holding the waters back while his people walked through on dry land. When else did Jesus Christ hold his hands out, holding back the wrath of God for his people so that they would walk into the promised land of salvation? Yes, at Calvary. Yes, Jesus Christ, who came down, took upon flesh, ended his life on a cross, holding back the waters of God's wrath for me and for you. We deserve condemnation, damnation, hell, because we are sinners. It's not that God wants to punish us. He created us for himself, to live with him. But we've abandoned him. We've gone to the ways of sin. And this is the absolute truth that the Bible brings to us. It's not a fairy tale. Jesus did take the sin of the world. Every one of us today, 7-point-something billion people on the planet Earth, and not just us, but the people in the past and the people that are still to come in the future, Jesus took the penalty of sin upon himself. He held back the waters of hell so that we could walk through and come out into the promised land. And that's the imagery of the water. If any one of you, I don't know how long Chris can hold his breath, but if Toby was to hold him under there, it was Mike who held him. If Mike held Chris under the water for over 2 minutes, I mean, he does do gym and he does do cardio. I don't know how long he lasts, but he will not last surviving. He would die. He would be crushed under the water. And that's part of the imagery. It is death, but Jesus took death upon himself. He held back the waters for us. And if you believe in him today, salvation will be yours. If you believe in what Jesus Christ did for you, he holds back that water. The people of Israel believed and walked through this crazy situation. Can you imagine it? Walking through an ocean and on each of your sides seeing these towering walls of water, the whales and fish and different animals going through the water. It's a crazy thing to imagine, but they had faith. They believed. They took steps of faith. They had active faith. They walked through the ocean on dry land. But the army of Egypt did not believe in God, did not submit themselves to the Lord. They had him. They knew he was a god. They were scared of him, but they did not have them as their Lord, and they were crushed under that water. I don't want anyone here to be crushed under the water. I don't want anybody in the world to be crushed under the wrath of God, and neither does he. His wrath is a just wrath. He makes the rules. He has told us how we are to live, and we are to live with him. When we say, no, I don't want to live with you. I want to live my own way. I want to rule my own life and do it my way, we are rejecting him. And he says, come back to me. The way you are going is the way of God's wrath. Come to him. He's inviting you. The people of Israel came through. But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. Until there, it's a really happy story. Let's see what happened next. Verse 5. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. Since the beginning of time, God has wanted a people for himself, a people that would know him, and in knowing him and in having relationship with him, would be blessed. Blessed upon farther than any measure we could imagine. Good things God had in store for them, and he was blessing them. And as they were filled, it says that they became proud. Becoming proud is looking to myself once again, thinking that I have attained these things. What happened to them? How did this come about? And I want to challenge you that this is exactly what's been happening in Canada. Canada is exactly this image. A nation that had flourishing churches, churches that were sending out missionaries, churches that were on fire for God, a nation that was recognized as a nation of God, and not just Canada, but other nations as well in Europe, the U.S., nations that were identified as missionary-sending nations. And if you say to people in Africa what's going on in Canada, they're like, what? What in the world is going on? What happened? And what happened is exactly what's happening here. They were filled. We were filled as a nation, blessed beyond measure. And we became proud. We started looking at ourselves, thinking that we were the ones who conquered all this wealth, all this well-being by intellect, by our hard-working nature. But God doesn't want this to happen to you, and he didn't even want it to happen to them. He warned them hundreds of years before. Deuteronomy, next slide, please, chapter 6, verse 4 to 12. This is them before they went into the land of Israel. They got this warning. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All things start with him. The last chapter we looked at and this one, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is the creator. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one who has this plan. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These are God's instructions to his people as they're going into the promised land. And if God is the same today as he was in the time of Israel, as he was in the time of Adam at the creation of the world, these still stand as instructions for us. The word of God is still the word of God. These are his instructions. This is his requirement for each one of us. This is his requirement for Canada. This is his requirement for you and your family, for these babies that you've dedicated today, for you as parents. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your being, every part of you. You need to love God. You need to be totally saturated by God. Every moment of your day needs to be about God. He created us for this purpose. But there are so many distractions. There are so many things that pull for our attention in every direction around us. Why? Because there is an enemy, the devil. He wants to pull us away from God. He has pulled away from God, and he wants to pull you away from God. And he fills our cultures with so many things that draw our hearts and our minds and our strength to other things that aren't from God or for God or through God, bringing glory to human beings, bringing glory to actors, bringing glory to politicians, but not to God. Bringing glory to Netflix was mentioned this morning. So many things that pull our attention. But this is what's required. And how? How was this nation to do this? How was this nation of Israel? How is Canada? How are you as an individual to do this? God has brought you out of slavery, if he has. If he hasn't, you need to resolve that one. But if you have already come out of the land of slavery, if you have already testified, as Chris and the others did this morning, that he is my Lord, how do we keep our focus on him? Here's the key. Here he says it in Deuteronomy 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. We need to know the commandments of God. We need to know the word of God. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It is not a compilation of human writings like any other. No, it is the word of God, written over thousands of years. Many individuals used of God. The Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the words to write, and we can trust it fully. It is the word of God, and it has authority in this world. It is God's authority. We need to take it seriously, Canada. We need to take it seriously, members of this church, families of this church. Take it to heart. We need to read it every single day. We need to memorize key parts of the scripture so that it's with us all day long. Put it to heart. Apply it in our lives. And then, this is especially for the parents, but for all of us as well, it says, verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Everywhere they went, they would see the word of God. When they sat at the table, they were to discuss the word of God. When they got up, when they sat down, when they went out, when you're driving in traffic, when you're going, what are the walls of your house covered with? The word of God? That's what it should be. And we need to get back to that, putting the word of God on our walls. And not just our house walls. Facebook has walls too. Put it up on the Facebook walls. Put it up on the Twitter gates. What part of your life is not identified with Christ, does not have the saturation of the word of God? I challenge you this morning, take this seriously. Ask God, say, God, what part of my life does not have your word in it? We need to be saturated by the word of God, because it's the word of God. It's what we repeat day in and day out that will form our thinking, that will form the way we live, that will form the culture of our society. Family by family, being transformed, transforms a whole society. And Satan knows this. That's why he repeats it day in and day out. His lies, putting it into our books, putting it into our television programs, putting it into every part of our lives, politics, TV, radio, education system. Beware, Canada. Be careful. Because the devil is there, and he wants to make his culture known. He's active. We need to be active as well with what God has told us, bringing the culture of heaven to earth. Let your will be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. But it will only be done on earth as it is in heaven if we know the Word of God, if we live out the Word of God, if we pass the Word of God on to our children and not let the culture of the devil encroach on our lives, take over our families, and bring the curse upon our nation. God wants to bless our nation, but the blessing is within His boundaries, His way of doing things. We need to submit to Him as our Lord and our Savior. No God but Him. No Savior but Him. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So here's the warning. Hosea was the verdict. They had forgotten God. They had become filled and forgotten their God. Have you forgotten God? Has this nation forgotten God? Yes, as a nation, Canada is drifting away, step by step. Generation after generation, we have diluted the truth of God. Our families have been less and less focused on the Word of God. Our mealtimes have been filled with everything except the Word of God. Our houses are filled with so many toys, so many trinkets, so many TV programs, but not the Word of God. Slowly but surely, our lives have been emptied of the truth that is the life-giving truth. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The opposite is, you will know the lies, and the lies will imprison you. And that's exactly what Egypt is. Egypt is the land of slavery. Are you in Egypt? Have we been going back to Egypt? Assess for yourself. What is happening in your personal life? What is happening in your family? As a nation, we know that this is the situation, and you can look at it. You can look at Romans 1, verse 18 onwards, and you'll see exactly the description of a nation that's forgotten its God, a nation that not only practices evil, not only practices what God condemns, but approves of it, celebrates that which God condemns. This nation has turned its back on the God that's blessed it. And we as the church, we as individuals need to begin taking this seriously, looking at our own lives, not accusing the nation. We are the nation. Not accusing the politicians or the school system. We need to look to ourselves. We need to say, are we being the good soil that the Word of God is planted upon and grows and bears much fruit? Fruit that will have seeds that will reproduce and plant other trees. Is your life a life that's flourishing with the blessings of God? Have you become proud? Every one of us has some portion of pride in our lives. Pride is where sin starts. It's me wanting to be God. Confess it before God. I'd like to invite you to close your eyes right now. Bow your head. God Almighty, your word has been preached. We have heard from Hosea and from Deuteronomy. Lord, your precepts. Lord God, the focus that our lives are supposed to have on the word of God because you are our God. Lord, I pray for any individual here this morning that knows of God but does not know God as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's anybody in this room, Lord, I pray that you would touch them right now. Lord, that they would be drawn to you, that they would repent of their sins, that they would agree with God, that they are not living the life that He wants them to live, that they're not allowing the Spirit to rule in their lives. Oh Lord, move in their lives. Move, oh Lord, that they would have the courage to say, yes, I want to explore who Jesus is and His way for my life. I want to be under the covering of God, the protection of the arms, the all-powerful arms of Jesus that hold back the flood of the wrath of God. I want to be under the blood of the Lamb. Oh Lord, I pray now that as I invite them to come down, that Lord, you would move in their lives. And I am inviting you now. If you have uncertainty in this area, if you do not know if you will sink under the water of the wrath of God, or if you will be protected by the hands of Christ because you are in him, if you are not in Christ, if you are in slavery in spiritual Egypt, I ask you to raise your hand. We want to help you. If you are unsure, please raise your hand. Call out for help. If you're unsure if your name is written in the book of life, if you don't know, please raise your hand. Oh Lord, you are God. You know our hearts. You know the hearts of every person here. Lord, I pray that you would move with power. Lord, if there is somebody in here who doesn't know you and is fighting the call of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would soften that heart, that you would draw them to yourself. If not now, Lord, I pray that they would speak later. And I do invite you, speak to Toby, speak to Vic, speak to Lawrence and other leaders of this church. Ask them, come to Alpha. Find out who Jesus is. Find out what he's done. If you've heard and been confused today about what the message of salvation is, don't keep silence. This is serious business. This is life and death. This is the difference between curse and blessing. God wants to bless your life completely. I'm going to call one more time. If you want to have Jesus in your life and you want to start that journey of knowing who he is, please raise your hand. Lord, I also pray for this church. Lord, I know that they want to be a disciple-making church. Lord, I thank you so much for the leadership that you've given to this church. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Bless them so much, oh Lord. Lord, if there's anybody in here who's been fighting with their schedule, fighting with the culture of the devil around them, Lord, I pray that you would draw each and every one of us, because I know it's all of us. It's all of us. All of us need more of your word. All of us need more of the centrality of Christ in our lives. But if you want somebody to pray for you right now, if you want to commit to studying the word of God, to applying it to your lives, if you want to be a warrior of God, impressing it on your children to make an impact in this nation, this is what we need. We need families dedicated to teaching their children, and not only their biological children, but also spiritual children. If you want more of what God has for your life, if you want to be more in on this call of God, please raise your hand. And I will ask some of the elders in the church to pray with you. If you want more of God, if you want to dedicate your life more to studying the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are almighty. Thank you that you do call us to a personal relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that many of us here have already walked through the Red Sea. Lord God, we've come out of Egypt, and we're in the Promised Land. Lord, I pray for each one here that we would, oh Lord, commit to studying your word day and night. Lord, that we would be equipped as warriors of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are blessing this church. Lord, I pray for this congregation, that they would be a light in Ajax. Lord, and that they would be moved by the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to plant other churches. Lord God, other churches in other neighborhoods. Lord God, and that the culture would be impacted, Lord God, by this church. Thank you, Lord, that you are almighty. You are God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.